Before we get into some of the ins and outs of what's working or not working with the Education Savings Account Program, first of all, just break down what the program is, what it's supposed to be doing.
The program really is a reflection of SB 302, which sets up what's known as education savings accounts. And effectively, you know, the view from 50,000 feet is what the legislature and the governor have decided is we've spent billions of dollars in education. We haven't had a lot to show for it. So we're going to give the parents a chance to make the education decisions for their kids. My understanding is that this is the most comprehensive program of its type.
And how many applications have you received so far?
We, in the space of 2 going on 3 weeks, have got close to 3,000 applications, which is astonishing. We're getting anywhere from 50 to 100 applications a day. So it's a great program. I think it has even startled some of the legislature and certainly the governor's office as to just how exciting and how popular it is.
And with that popularity has come a lot of questions about the actual implementation, what qualifies people to receive one of the education vouchers. And so one of the issues that's come up is the so-called 100-day rule. Can you break down what that means?
In order to qualify for an ESA education savings account, you have to have spent 100 consecutive days in the public/charter schools in order to submit an application.
Do you know why that was written into the law?
Well, I do. And this raises another question is Senator Hammond, who was the actual author of the bill, said at our first hearing that if we didn't have the 100 days, this would create on the order of about a $200 million hole in the budget. I don't know if that's a good answer, but I mean, it's the answer. But in a sense, I think that's even made people more upset because they're thinking, wait a minute, you know, is this a fake out? In other words, have we created a program which is not going to be there for the people who need it?
To break down that idea of that budgetary hole, why would that hole be created?
You can just do the math. Let's assume we don't know what the governor will decide, but we're hoping there'll be a special session. If let's assume, again, in that special session that they take away the 100-day requirement, all of a sudden, you're going to have 24,000 private school students applying for the ESA. And then the others, I mean, we've gotten interest. It's not just private schoolers. We've gotten interest from the homeschoolers. And you put all these together, you could easily get to that number.
So the 100-day rule is effectively to limit applicants.
Well, I didn't say it, but that's the thrust of it.
Right. And then we get into these questions of fairness and accessibility.
Yeah. I mean, there's really a lot of issues. Again, we have been supportive of either modifying or removing the 100-day requirement.
And when you say we, do you mean the Treasurer's
Office?
Yeah,
the Treasurer's Office. Okay. Yeah, the Treasurer's Office. And again, this isn't meant to be a pat on the back, but we've really taken this and we have tried to give it the broadest possible interpretation consistent with the law that we could.